His grace. Though in the race of faith you secretly reset your gaze on Him who knows your grief, rejected by
Thank you so much for that song, both of you. That was beautifully done, but the lyrics, wow, that's excellent. Thank you. And I have to say, I did not know that song, so that was refreshing. We're going to be in Luke 24, so you could go ahead and turn there. And as you go, I realize I didn't say anything in the past meeting about this, and so I think it would just be right to mention it, just mostly for prayer, but also just to keep you informed and on how to pray. Because I said we have prayer cards back there, but my wife and I, Priyanka and I, have been praying since before we were even married about where the Lord would place us next on a if I can say a long-term basis, that's fine, but all we have really is today, and as we've learned through 2020, that we make our plans, but the final outcome's in His hands. And anyway, all that to say is I was, of course, in North Africa for the majority of the 10 years right before getting married. Passed off the work in Niger in September of 2017. The work is going on great. Could give you some very encouraging things. Team shifted some different places, but great stuff going on. And anyway, just so keep praying for them. This is, like, I guess, my point in saying that. But we've been praying over four countries for the past few years: Bhutan, Maldives, Mauritania, and Bangladesh, and asking the Lord to raise up teams for these places, and also where would He send us. And the beautiful thing is, He really has made our path quite clear. And I could go more into detail on that, but that being said, we are completely planning on moving to Bangladesh in about 13 months, Lord willing, beginning of 2022. We want to finish what we've committed to through 2021. We'll do very limited after that, speaking like maybe 2 months of the year, be back in North America, but we do plan to live full time over there, and we want to see churches planted throughout this unreached country. In fact, Bangladesh has the largest unreached people group in the entire world. Many people wouldn't think of it, but the Bengali people, There are 130 million of them, that people group, 130 million of that people group in Bangladesh, and that's the largest unreached people group unless you count the deaf. And then the second largest are the Japanese, and the third largest are the Bengalis again in India, 70 million. So they're actually the first and the third largest unreached people group in the world. And one more thing I'll say about Bangladesh, which you might not know, but I think by sharing this stat, it'll help you pray better. Bangladesh is a very crowded country. In fact, it's almost three times as crowded as India. That's correct. Okay, now, crowded. The capital, Dhaka, is three times as crowded as Manhattan. So the capital, so if you can picture Manhattan, how they live in Manhattan, three times as crowded as Manhattan. And now here's a crazy stat for you. If the first of all, Bangladesh is smaller than Georgia, okay? And we have 170 million people. So smaller than Georgia, 170 million. If the United States was as crowded as Bangladesh, you ready? The United States would have almost 12 billion people. Almost twice the world's population would be the population of the U.S. if the U.S. was as crowded as Bangladesh. And now a crazy part of Bangladesh, 25% of the country is not even inhabitable. Hello. So, put all that together. There's a lot of souls. Souls. And incredibly unreached country. Incredibly unreached. So please be praying. Pray for wisdom. For language study will be the first thing. But language study is also called relationship building. So it's a multitasking thing. But Lord, probably, most likely, and we'll have to do a lot of business as missions over there. So a lot of very much being intentional to get into the business sector just for the sake of longevity in the country, because it's not very open to the kind of work that we want to do. So please just be praying and pray for the Lord to raise up a team. We've been having prayer meetings just for Bangladesh now since July, and the Lord's already raised up another young couple. No recruiting at all. The Lord knows. Completely only prayer. And one young couple's already sold their house, and they're planning on moving as well. We're praying for many more. But just please be praying for us as we seek to finish this year strong, and or 2021 strong in the U.S. If the Lord hasn't come, He may come before we ever get the soles of our feet there. So that's all I'll say, but that just gives you a little update on how to pray for our little family. Luke 24. Now, I chose this passage for this morning thinking of the fact that this is our last Sunday in 2020. For some of us, it may be a breath of relief to say goodbye to this year, but I have to say, what a precious year it's been. It's been a precious year in so many ways, where the Lord has taken out some comfort zones, where the Lord has not answered our prayers the way we would have chosen to have things answered, where the Lord has allowed the nation in which we live to have a lot of upheaval, where many of our lives have had huge upheavals, where Priyanka and I said goodbye to a little baby the Lord gave us only for a couple months. There's been many things that 2020, I look back and I say, wow, and yet it's precious. Because what do I really want from a year? Do I want a year that goes the way I planned, or do I want a year where I know Him better? And I think 2020 has just been rife with opportunity to know the Lord better. And I think that's exactly what we need. We need a lot more teaching on the theology of suffering in this land and in our world. Because truly, if we would walk with the Lord, He doesn't suggest suffering will be a component. He promises it will be. So if there is no suffering, there's also no holiness. What I mean by that is not holiness in one aspect, but I mean walking with the Lord. Because whoever desires to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And ultimately, suffering is the pathway to blessing, as Christ articulates in Matthew 5 and many other places. So with that being said, Luke 24, I want to talk about expectations. Expectations for this new year and expectations for our life in general. And we're going to look at an example of Christ walking with a couple individuals. We know one was a man at least. Maybe both were men. But either way, Cleopas and his accompanying walking friend, and the Lord Jesus. And I think there's just some very practical things on expectations for the new year that we can glean, be encouraged, challenged by, and I pray ultimately know the Lord Jesus better through. So we'll begin reading in verse 13. That very day, that's the day of the resurrection, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And Jesus said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. Oh, but we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find the body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. And he acted as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So Jesus went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." Father, this is your word. I'm so thankful for it. Oh God, change our expectations to match the truth of your word. And I pray, Lord, do that heart surgery in us that our hearts might burn in such a way where our lives would then respond. God, I pray that all things that are said would honor your Son. And I pray that if I say anything which somehow is a distraction, just keep it from our minds. Lord, I pray Jesus would get all the glory. In his name we pray. Amen. So expectations. As we walk through this story, I want to be brief, we're going to take the time, but there's just so much here, so it is brief. If we were calling this message something, I would maybe call it God of the Detour. God of the Detour. But there's some other things that I could call it, and that would be these things. These things. Just when you look at this passage, I just think, man, this could be any of us walking a road talking about the things that have happened. Because what we have here is we have two people whose expectations have been dashed. They've been crushed. They had all these plans for what was going to be, and now they're not. And I want us to really just see right away that this whole passage is about the things happening around. Notice verse 9. We didn't read verse 9, but it says, returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11. Look at verse 10. Who told these things to the apostles? Verse 14. All these things. Verse 18. The things that have happened. Verse 19. What things? Verse 21. These things. Verse 26. These things. Verse 27. The things. Verse 36. These things. And you could go on and go down to verse 48. Again, these things. It's so easy for us to just be focused on the things and really miss the one. And so the first expectation I want to draw out, or the first thing that sometimes we can falsely hold on to, is this. Don't let the things that have happened behind you blind you from the truth being heralded in front of you. Don't let the things that have happened behind you blind you from what is right in front of you. I say this in thinking about even the year that we've had. Or maybe not the year, maybe the life. Or maybe the week. But your reality, your present, be very careful to not let the things that have happened blind you from what God is doing right in front of you. And this is going to come out very clearly in this passage, because there's some elements here that I think we would just be wise to consider as we walk through this passage. First of all, these individuals they're going the wrong way. I mean, if they truly believed his message, they know where to wait for him. And it's not here. It's not in Emmaus. In fact, Emmaus is such a vague place. It's not in Dubuque, Iowa, by the way. It's about 7 miles outside of Jerusalem. But it's so vague that if you go to Israel, guides will say this is believed to be the area of Emmaus. The area. Not even the village, just the area. Why? Because we don't know it. And it's interesting that when we're focused on these things, it's easy to get sidetracked, and it's easy to end up in Emmaus. But the reality, that's a bad audio clip for Emmaus Bible College, by the way. Get sidetracked and end up at Emmaus. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. But what we see here is we see that the Lord met them on this road. I love that about the Lord. The day he rose from the dead, the day he conquered the grave, he shows up with two individuals walking the wrong way, if I can say it like that. And the beautiful thing is, whatever's happened in our life, we're going to find that there is there's company on our journey, and that's the Lord, ready to pick us up, ready to meet us where we're at. But you know, when he was walking with them in verse 16, it's interesting, it says, their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And why? Well, I'll say it in a very simple way. There's more we could say, and that is this. Jesus didn't look like they remembered. He didn't look like they remembered. I don't know what he looked like after his resurrection, but there was definitely something different. And we know that from just multiple passages of a lot of people being confused and then their eyes being opened. But he didn't look like they remembered. And I think that that's a problem with us seeing Jesus in our situation, is we have these expectations that are being formed by the things that have happened to us. And now we have Christ right in front of us. And what's happening? Well, ultimately, we're missing it. We're missing what he's doing. Why? Because what he's doing doesn't seem to be the way that we remembered things. It doesn't seem to be the way that we would want things done. I think we all agree with the fact that if we were God, we would not have done things the way God did things. Just in the last year. If we were God, we probably wouldn't have chosen COVID to act the way it acted. If we were God, no doubt about it, no doubt, there's someone in your life right now you would heal. No doubt about it, if you were God, there's someone in your life who would have a different demonstration of provision right now. Absolutely no doubt, if you're a believer, if you were God, there's someone right now that would be saved. Sometimes these things that happen, they really blind us. They blind our focus from looking where it needs to be. Because I have to admit, I can walk on the road and focus on these things, and the whole time I have the one right with me. And I almost act as though he doesn't even know what's happening. Are you the only one out of the loop? No, he's actually the only one that was on a cross dying for my sins. All these things. We'll come back to these things and see it in another light, but I can get in the mindset of these men. I feel where they're coming from. But as we go on a little bit further, we see a second thing that's laid out here, a second expectation or a false way of thinking about things. And it's this: when God puts a comma, don't put a period. When God puts a comma on something, don't put a period. In other words, when the story's not over, don't call it over. What we see here with these men or individuals as they walk is we see them using the past tense. We had hoped. The things that have happened, not the things that are happening, the things that have happened. Not we are hoping. We had hoped. See, there's a chapter that's been closed in their life. And now they're moving on. I just wonder, are some of us moving on when God hasn't moved on? Or are some of us still waiting at a tomb when God has moved on and he says, keep going? Some of you, well, at least the Harolds, I'm sure, will be familiar with something close to this, because I know I've mentioned this before, but I have a practice which is not, let's just say, a lot of people don't appreciate it, but I can't apologize for it because I'm not going to change. And you'll see what I mean in a minute. And that is that when I read a book, or when I watch a movie, or especially if it's a series, I do something which it kind of irritates my wife too. She'll even say to me, please don't look up the ending. I always look up the endings of things. If it's a series, I want to watch the last episode of the last season and find out what happens. If it's a book, I'm going to read the first chapter and then the last chapter. And then I'll see, do I actually want to read what's in between? If it's a movie, I'm going to go to imdb.com and I'm going to look up the synopsis where it says, warning, this has spoilers in it. Good. The more spoilers, the better. I don't want any surprises in my movie. I want to know exactly what's going to happen. I know, some of you are like, this is pathetic. Guys, I have enough drama in life. And so when I am going to like enjoy a story, I want to know, is it a good story? Why would I spend an hour and a half of my life on a bad story? Why do I want more anxiety and stress? No, thank you. Well, here's the thing. I know the ending to this story. I know the ending to my life. I know the characters that are going to survive. And you know how relaxing it is when you know exactly what's going to happen? You're like, yeah, that character is going to a war zone right now, but he's not going to die because he's in season 5. You know it. Well, I can walk looking at these things that have happened. And I can say, yeah, I know these things have happened. And you know what I'm not sure about? I'm not sure what it's going to look like between these things and that thing. What I do know is that on that day, I will stand. On that day, because he lives, I will live also. On that day, the trumpet of the Lord will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise. And we who are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. See, I don't know a lot of the in-between details. I don't know a lot about all these things. But here's what I know. I know that when God puts a comma, don't put a period. That's not the end of the story. There's another chapter, and the last chapter is forever with the Lord. It's no wonder that Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, said, therefore, encourage one another with these words. Because it's a big encouragement. I don't know what 2021 is going to hold, but here's what I know about 2021. It's not the last chapter. You say, well, it might be the last year. Well, it might be the last year either, because we still have some tribulation periods. But maybe for us it is. But the point is this. The point is, whatever is happening around us, we have to make sure we don't miss the purpose in it. And the purpose in it is beautiful, because think about this. When Jesus says down in verse 25, he says, O foolish one, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? See, the thing about these things, which fascinates me, which encourages my heart, is this. These things are not just things that have happened. These things are necessary things. They're necessary. Well, that's beautiful, because Christ is saying, no, it's not just like, yeah, all these things in Jerusalem. He's like, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things? Like, these things that you think are negative are actually the very things that you needed for the salvation of your soul. The very things you would have chosen to have bypassed, the very things you wish that this Jesus, who you call a man and then you call a prophet and you thought was the Redeemer of Israel. Yeah. The very things you wish weren't are the very things that secured your eternal redemption. Amen. Then we take it to a very practical level of our daily life. And you think about these things. And again, what things? Well, you can put whatever you want into 2020. And you can hypothesize whatever you want about 2021. But the fact of the matter is, the things that have and the things that will happen to you are actually going to be answers to your prayer. I'll tell you what I mean by that. Because I hope that as you go into this new year, you're praying to know the Lord more intimately. And what's God going to do? He's going to give you things. He's going to give you loss, so that you might know His sufficiency and answer your prayer by you knowing Him more. He's going to allow you to have sickness so you can know your weakness and know His strength, and in that, know Him more. He's going to allow you to have misunderstandings so you can know Him as your comforter, as your wisdom from God. He's going to reveal to you sin in your life so you can be again reminded just how great of a Savior He is. The things that have and the things that will happen, we could be very quick to walk the Emmaus road and say, why? But the reality is not so much why, but it's what. What do you want me to learn from these things, Lord? What is it that you have? See, when you go into this next year and you think about your expectations, all I'm encouraging you with is, don't have expectations about, oh, it's going to be like 2020, the things behind. No, look at the one who's before you. Don't have these expectations of like, okay, well, that chapter is closed. Instead, recognize God is writing a story that we get to be part of. And He wants us to see the purpose in it. There's another thing that we could be expecting, or another mistake we could make in this journey. And I'll say it like this. We can be right about our position, our persuasion, and our perspective, but wrong about the path to that prospect or to that end. In other words, we can be right about, let's say, our theology. We can be right about what the end result's going to be, like I was talking about. But we need to make sure that we recognize that things might not go the way that we anticipate, even with our understanding of God's word. Now, that might sound like a strange thing to say, but I think it's an appropriate thing because it's what these guys were dealing with. Do you see what happened in verse 21? But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. I find this, again, just interesting. Because they say, we had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. Well, was he the one to redeem Israel? Yes, absolutely he was. This is the Redeemer of Israel. And as we saw, where were we? Luke chapter 2 with Simeon. We saw that he is the light to the Gentiles as well. This is the Redeemer of the world who's come. They were right. But what caused them to lose hope? Well, it wasn't about their position being wrong. It wasn't that their persuasion, what they were confident in, was wrong. It wasn't that their perspective of him as Redeemer was wrong. It was what the path to that, not to that, he was already the Redeemer, but the path to that end, that was where it was off. And I think a lot of us can grow disillusioned. In fact, I think a lot of Christians are growing disillusioned. And it's simply because God's, again, not acting the way that we thought he would act. He's not doing things the way that we feel is the best way to do it. I mean, I don't have to look further than the United States. And please, what I'm saying here is not a political statement. I'm using politics as the example. All I have to do is look at politics in this country, and I can see how disillusioned many Christians have become. It almost is as though we had hope in D.C. I didn't say we shouldn't care. I didn't say we shouldn't pray fervently. We should. I didn't say that we shouldn't grieve. I think that's godly. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. But I'm so thankful that the Supreme Court is not in Washington, D.C. I'm so thankful the Supreme Court does not have 9 judges appointed by men. There's only one. I'm thankful that the throne of power is not in a White House. See, when we look at who the Lord is, I want to challenge us to not build our expectations on how we perceive things should happen, but instead build our expectations on what the Word says is, who the Word says is, and what the Word says is important. Let me give you an example. Now, I'm giving you an example from personal life, but when I say that, I'm not saying, oh, everybody should have this example. Like, I'm just saying this is how I'm thinking about it. When I think about Bangladesh, and I think about people coming to know the Lord, you know what I don't know? I don't know if the Lord will ever let me see one Bangladeshi come to Christ. I don't know. I would like to see millions come to Christ. In fact, about 170 million. That would be my desire. I would love to see churches planted throughout the country. I would love to see New Testament example churches that love the Lord, that faithfully meet and break bread, that send workers out into Southeast Asia. I would love to see that. I'm asking the Lord for that. That's what I want. But what's God's heart? Well, God's heart is that all would know. He desires no one to be lost. He desires all to repent and come to the knowledge of the truth. I know that. He says it in his word. I can also be absolutely confident that he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He tells us clearly in Matthew 24 that the end will come when the gospel of the kingdom's gone into all the world. There's many things that I can see in his word. But you know what I don't know? He doesn't say anything about the response of Bangladeshis in 2022. He doesn't say anything about it. It's not even in there. All he says is, this is my heart. And so I can go in with expectations, and you know what could happen? We could get over there, and we could be there for 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, and not see any response with our eyes, and think, we missed something. These things that have happened to us don't seem to be working out. And yet the question is, what am I looking at? Am I looking at his promises? Or am I looking at my life? I challenge you, as you walk into 2021, set your expectations on obedience to the Word of God. Don't worry about how it plays out. Don't worry about if people around you applaud and say, wow, that's successful. But instead, focus on, am I investing my life into what God says is going to count forever? That's it. Am I going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? And you know what's cool about that verse? All, are you ready? These things will be added to you. See, as believers in Christ, we actually can have a very narrow focus, if I can say it like that. And that is, we can focus on what the Lord's told us to do and not worry how it actually turns out. Because we know, ultimately, He will turn it all out for good in the end. See, I think the reason I struggle with this is because I want to be the beginning and the end of the story. And that's called pride. It's called sin. See, I want to plant, I want to water, and I want to harvest. But the reality is, some plant, some water, and God gives the increase, and He who plants is nothing, and He who waters is nothing. But God who gives the increase, the Lord can easily remove Nathan Bramson from the equation today. And the work of God will not skip one beat. Not one. He doesn't need me. He wants me. So get excited about 2021. I want to challenge you that whatever resolutions or expectations you have, they're way too small. Way too small. This is going to be a most fabulous year because we go into it like on the road to Emmaus with the Lord walking by our side, knowing all these things that have happened and saying, get ready. My word hasn't changed because He who promised is faithful. I want to read us a few verses in closing from Ephesians chapter 3. And this is what I'm thinking about as I sit down to do some journaling this week and think through stepping into another year if the Lord tarries. And I think, man, I've got to really up some expectations. It says in verse 20, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. It's interesting when you read this passage, and I intentionally didn't note all the times as we were reading, but if you went back and read from the very beginning, sometime take the time just to note how many times it talks about the tomb, how many times it talks about the grave, how many times it talks about death. It's interesting because even as these guys are talking, they were at the tomb. They went to the tomb. He was a prophet. The reality is, when we're focused on what's died, we're going to miss what's living right in front of us. I think it's interesting and ironic that these people were talking about the women who went to the tomb, and then others that went to the tomb, and it said they said He was alive, but then it said in verse 24, but Him they did not see. They went around talking about people that didn't see the Lord when they were talking to the Lord and not seeing Him either. We can do the same thing, can't we? We can talk about a world that's missing it. We can be so frustrated with people that don't see things the way we see things. And yet I wonder if the Lord's like, you're missing the irony here. I'm working right in front of you. I'm literally shaking heaven and earth. And you're not even part of it because you're so focused on these things and other people that are missing it. And you're not even being part of what I'm doing. I just don't think I'm very different than these two people. I need to get my eyes off of others that are missing the point and recognize I'm missing the Lord's work in so many ways when He invites us to jump right in and to be part of it. May the Lord just challenge our hearts with these few simple things and remember this, that sometimes the Lord won't give us the answers we want, but He'll change our question. Because it was our question that was off. These guys started off by asking a question in verse 17. What is the, Jesus says, question 17. In verse 18, they say, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days? But by the end of their conversation, verse 32, they say, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked to us on the road, while He opened to us the scriptures? Sometimes I think God doesn't answer my questions because I'm asking the wrong thing. I want an answer. But He says, it's not the answer you need. So I could give you the answer to that, but that would just be a distraction. I'm just going to keep walking with you until you learn to ask the right question. So be encouraged. We're in for a marvelous journey in front of us. And spoiler alert, the last chapter is with the Lord. So whatever things happen between now and then, Maranatha, the Lord is coming soon. Be encouraged and get excited. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You that we are so blessed to be Yours. I'm overwhelmed with just thankfulness this morning that I belong to Jesus. Oh, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to Thy cross I cling. Naked come to Thee for dress, helpless look to Thee for grace. Vile I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It's enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. I'm so thankful for my Savior this morning. And thank You that whatever things happen around us, I'm thankful for the One who has conquered. And in all things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Teach us to seek first Your kingdom and Your righteousness, knowing that all these things will be added to us in Your time and Your way. We pray that our lives would bring You great glory as we go into 2021, if that be Your will. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.